This is Julie Wise, and I'm interviewing Dolores Atkins. Today is September 25th, 2008, and we're in Parkin, Arkansas, and this is for the Bracero History Project. Okay, Mrs. Atkins, when and where were you born?
I was born here in Parkin, right down Parkin Street here, what they call the Bottoms, Dyes Bottoms.
The Bottoms.
In 1948, April 8th, 1948.
1948. All right. How many siblings do you have?
Seven of us. It's five girls and two boys.
Five girls and two boys. How did your family make a living?
We did sharecropping. My dad, we lived on a farm, and the owner would let us have so many acres of land, and we would, what we call sharecrop, we would do the, he would supply the seeds and the tractor, and we would work the land, my dad and my mom and my brothers and sisters, and we would do all the work, pick the cotton, chop the cotton, plant it, pick it, chop it, and the boss man, as we called him, the owner of the farm, would take it and sell it. And during that time that the harvest, before the harvest would come in, the owner would loan money to the sharecroppers to live on until the harvest came in. And what we would do, we would, once the harvest came in, we'd pick the cotton, they would sell it. He would take half and we would take half. He would take his half for the money that we'd have, you know, borrowed to live on until the harvest. So usually if we made $1,000, we would probably end up with about $200.
$200 at the end of the year.
Yeah, to live on the whole winter.
And what had you done to get that $200? What was the work like on the farm?
Oh, we chopped, we picked, we did everything. You know, we would get out with the cotton sacks and pick the cotton and throw it over in a trailer, and they would take it to the what they call the ginning area, and that's how they would weigh. Once they processed the cotton, they would weigh it by the bale. We would pick by the bale, and most of the year we'd do like 13, 14, maybe 20 bales of cotton. And I don't know how much each bale was worth, but, you know, we just only got a certain amount of the money. Once the owner sold the cotton, he could tell us anything, you know. He could say that it was 12 bales when it was 20, you know, but we just had to take what we could get.
Did that happen, where you felt that he would lie about amounts?
Yeah, you know,
that,
they did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. How many families were sharecropping on the same farm?
All I can remember is maybe three or four. And then once we got our farming done, we would help the neighbor, and whoever. And, you know, if we were doing something, the neighbor didn't have theirs ready to process, they would help us. So everybody in the neighborhood just really helped each other. You know.
And do you remember when your parents raised you, were there any instructions or ideas about whether they wanted you to keep in this lifestyle or do something different? Or?
Oh, they always wanted us to do something different.
Yeah.
Because this was hard work, and we knew we were working for nothing, you know, for pennies. Right. Pennies on the dollar, you know. We don't want you to always have to work like this. We want you to get an education. We want you to be live better than what we're living.
Did they ever think about leaving and going north? Or did
no, I had one brother to leave and go and stay with my uncle. He was like 3 or 4 years older than me. My sister also had gone to like Kansas City or St. Louis or somewhere, but I never went anywhere. Everybody else is gone. All my sisters, we got college degrees and everything. And my mom, they all worked hard and pushed for everybody to get a good education.
So how many of you went to college of the siblings?
Four.
Four out of, there were seven total? And what was Parkin, the town, like at that time?
Oh, it was booming. You know, this was a large town. You know, the town next to us is Wynn, Arkansas, and it's almost 9,000 now. And this town was a larger town at one time than that town. So we were like twice the size of Wynn. And but we had a lot of farmers and people who lived on the farm, and people just, once they got of age, they just moved away. Because this was the only way of making a living, is chopping and picking cotton and driving tractor. My husband, when he was a boy, he drove tractor, and his daddy was a mechanic at the shop that fixed all the tractors to keep them running, and so they could stay out in the field and cut and pick. And
were there any mechanical pickers at that time?
No.
No. It was all hand-picked cotton.
Everybody was picking by hand. We would pick cotton, and our hands would be sore and busted. And, you know, I started at about, I guess I was about 3 or 4. My mom would give me a little pillowcase, and she would tie a string on each side corner of the pillowcase, cut a hole in it, and put it over my head, and it would swing to the side. And that's what you do. You just pull locks of cotton out. You know, you didn't do very much, but you had to go out to the field with them because, you know, she didn't want to leave us at home.
So age 3 or 4 already you were picking
cotton? Yeah. And anybody smaller would just lay on the sacks, and she would pull them in order to keep up with them. Everybody had to work, so that's the way we did it. Anybody big enough to pull a lock of cotton out was working. And the babies were, like, laying on the mother's cotton sack. And they would sleep, lay there and sleep, and she'd pull, and, you know, and she would work.
Were you all still using mules and stuff, or?
Now, when I was real little, my dad would plow the land with a mule. I remember us having a mule. But I guess when I got about 9 or 10, the tractors had started out, you know. I can even remember we had a battery-operated radio when I was about 6 or 7. And we would listen to Johnny Dollar, The Lone Ranger. I'm trying to think of some of the other shows that we had. We listened to like The Edge of Night that it comes on TV now. All those soap operas were coming on radio.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember. Yeah, I remember that. When the battery would run low, we would be upset because my dad would have to go get some way to get to town and get us a battery so we could listen to the radio.
And was I just going to ask you about the picking? Oh, how did this affect your ability to go to school?
It did affect our ability to go to school, simply the fact that we had to work. And you didn't go to school when it was dry, like it is now. In the fall of the year, when it's time to pick cotton, you had to stay out of school and pick cotton. And if it rained now and get everything soaked up, then we get a chance to go to school.
Got it.
You know, we would miss half the school year working on the farm.
So what was segregation like here in this town? How did it work?
Segregation? We had a white school over here, and our church is the black school now. Our church.
Oh, so the church is what used to be the black school.
Yeah, we made a church out of it.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah, out of the black school.
Okay.
And my sister and brother, next to me, they were the last class to go to the black school in Parkin.
Wow.
Yeah. I think my sister's like 50... 56 or 57, and they were both in the same class, so they were the last graduating class from the Central High School, the Bobcats, the black school.
From Central High School. So that would have been about late 60s that they graduated high school?
I graduated 66. This should have been like 69, maybe 70. Maybe 69, somewhere, because they're about 3 years under me.
And what about the town? How did segregation work in town?
Oh, that's terrible. People, the black people would walk together. The white people would stay together. We had a drugstore here in town. It's something like a soda shop. But black people couldn't come in. They had a little hole cut in the back wall around to the back side of the drugstore. If you wanted a cone of ice cream, you had to come there and order through a little window about like this, a little bitty something. And I remember that's the way we ordered. You couldn't go in and sit on the stools and order burgers or anything. You always had to order from that little hole in the wall. We had a black fountain and a white fountain. The black fountain was I think they just took it up. It may still be there. Right on the railroad track there, down from the hardware store. And it had black only color. It had color. And you were not allowed to drink from the white fountain, which was on the other end of town. And I guess if you were caught, maybe you would probably be put in jail. We were small. We didn't know. We were like, you know, 10, 12, 14, 15, just walking the streets at night. But we knew not to drink from the white fountain. And there was a cafe right here. My husband's mother worked there. Even though she worked there, there was a little area on the back, on the side. They built a little hallway with a door, extra door. There's two doors there. You come in, you go into that little back area, and there's a little hole cut in there for you to order your food. And you go through the front door of it, that's where the white people would go in and sit down, and they could eat and order their food, and the waitresses would bring them their food, but we weren't allowed to come in and sit down and order anything. You just had to go to that little hole on the wall there, order your food. His mother worked there when he was in school. She cooked the pies, but you were not allowed to go in that really nice area.
And were there cafes black people could go to, or bars where black people could drink?
Yeah, they were in the black area.
Okay.
What we call Dye's Bottom. You go across the railroad, and that's where black people live now. My grandmother lived there, and that's where I was born down there. That's where my mom was born. We had Miss Lucy's Cafe right across the street from my grandmother's house, which my mom got after my mother died, and we moved into town into her house, my grandmother's house. And then they had a couple of juke joints. They call them juke joints. Mm-hmm. When we were I never went in them, but we could just pass by and the music would be playing and all the older black people in there drinking. And no, today's Thursday. And all the people would be walking the streets at night. It's just having a good time, especially on Saturday night. And on Saturday, my parents would, every family that had children, you could go and chop cotton on Saturday and everything, or pick cotton on Saturday during the day, and everything you made was yours. That's the only time we got money.
Say that again. Oh, so the parents would...
would let you keep what you made.
On Saturday.
On Saturday. On any other day, we never got anything.
It went to your parents.
Yeah. They needed it to support us, or feed us, or clothe us with.
Interesting, but all the parents would give you the money from Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah. Huh. You pick cotton until lunchtime or until 2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You go out early in the morning before day, or you chop cotton early in the morning before day, if you made $3, I remember chopping and picking for $2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got $3 a day, I thought that was really, really good.
But it was your parents, not the boss man, that were making the decision to pay you, right?
We would go and work for some independent...
Oh, I see. You go work for someone else.
Uh-huh. We would go and work for maybe the boss man. If he had, you know, he hired people to chop 6 days a week or 7 days. That Saturday was always the children's day. And that's what you get. If you made $3 that day, you know, we could go to town. Mom said, you know, spend it carefully. It's yours. Mm-hmm. You do what you want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk, and we ate ice cream, and we ate cookies, and we would pack up things and bring them home because, you know, we knew that was the last time we were going to have a soda or a cookie or anything. You know, if you didn't bring anything home, you wouldn't have anything until you get to do some more work like that again.
So then what's your earliest memory of the Mexicans in town?
Our school bus used to pass by, and I guess I was about, I had to be about 12, 13. Our school bus used to pass down, go down through there. We lived down that way. We lived, I guess, probably a couple miles, 2 or 3 miles from them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4 miles, 3 or 4 miles. And the bus would have to go around out of the country, come back around, before it would come bring us back up here in town to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And we would pass by it, and you could see it. And it was always weird to me because it was really long.
Mm-hmm.
And had, I bet you, 10, 15 doors. You know, every little section had a door, but it was all together.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever see the men? Were there women, Mexican women, or only men?
Oh, there were families.
There were families.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting.
They would come to stay, and they worked the fields, and on weekends they would like I was telling you up there, they would come to town and get their liquor, but they never came in and walked the streets and mingled with people because they couldn't speak English, and I think they probably were afraid. You know, I wasn't afraid of them, but I just I was excited because I hadn't heard anybody speak that kind of language before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what do you remember about hearing their language?
We just laughed because we, as a child, as a kid, young person, maybe a 10, 12, 13 year old, you just laughed because you thought it was weird. You couldn't understand them.
Interesting.
But they just came to work, and that's what they did. They were serious people. They just came to work.
So when would they come? What time of year?
Usually this, the harvest time of the year.
Would they come chopped too, or no?
I don't remember them chopping with us,
mm-hmm.
but they would come and chop and pick.
Did you ever pick with them?
No.
No,
I never did. Usually when they were in a field, it would just be all of them. I guess they wanted, I guess they just wanted to keep everybody doing together.
Can you say that again?
They wanted to keep all of the Mexican people together. They would just, they couldn't speak English, and I know it was kind of frightening for them to be with somebody and not knowing what they're saying.
Right. Interesting.
Y'all can head out. All right.
Are we getting kicked out? So you don't remember them coming to eat in any of the cafes where you were? And do you think they were on the white side eating cafes or no?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think they would come to cafes at all.
Hmm. Thanks, Mr. Robert.
They probably bought their groceries from the grocery store, mm-hmm. or maybe the boss man would buy things that they would really want to eat or whatever and just bring it to them.
Mm-hmm. But you don't remember them going to the movies or anything like that?
I sure don't.
Interesting.
We had a movie theater right up here in town, but I don't remember ever seen any of them in movies.
Really? Interesting. Very interesting. And, wait, let me pause.
I want you to catch Faye this afternoon. Now, she may be at the are you at the archaeological park?
I haven't stopped by, but I'm going to go stop by on my way out.
She may be there around about 2.
Okay.
I told you I'd spell her name, Faye Futch. F-A-Y-E.
Mm-hmm.
F-U-T-C-H.
Okay. Yeah, no, I wrote that down. I thought it was fudge, like the chocolate, but
no,
it's not.
No, fudge. F-U-T-C-H. Fudge.
Okay, so let me just ask you then. You said you don't remember them seeing Mexicans in the movies. You don't remember them seeing them in the cafes. Mm-hmm. You don't remember them on the white side or the black side, kind of doing their own thing. Did you ever know any of them to try to, I don't know, make friends, date local women?
No.
No. Okay.
Now, Faye might know more about them because she lived in town. I lived out in the country.
I get it.
And
okay.
Faye lived right here in town, and she knew, she saw everything. You know, if they did come in the middle of the week, you know, I only came when we got a chance to pick cotton,
right,
or make a little money, and our parents would let us come on Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And it would like be 300 or 400 people walking the street.
Black people on the black side of town.
Yeah, black people and white.
Mm-hmm.
Just walking the streets, going to the movie theater. The black people sat on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And the white people were on the bottom.
I was going to say, that's backward.
Yeah, the white people were on the bottom. Because I remember the white people were on the bottom and we were on the top. And when the white people got a little frustrated with us and wanted to call us names, we'd throw popcorn down. We had fun. We got good memories of that. Maybe take some ice and they would never know where it came from.
What happened?
We would do things like that. So
that's funny.
But I don't remember Mexicans being in the movie.
In the movie.
And you can ask Faye because she lived right here in town and she was always at the store or walking the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I only got to come, you know, when we had a little money.
So then where you were picking, were there Mexicans picking around in farms nearby you or not so much?
Not so much. They weren't on the farm that we were on.
Mm-hmm. What farm were you on?
The Utley farm.
Utley. Yeah, I don't think I know about it. Interesting. And did you ever remember talking with other folks about, you know, how is this going to affect us, all these other people coming here to pick? Do you remember feeling that or talking about that with anyone?
No, black people, we were underprivileged people as it is, and we were work for nothing. So we, you know, see somebody else working, it really didn't matter to us.
So there was never, or was there, a feeling of, was this going to displace you or cause problems for you? That didn't come up.
We were trying to get something to eat, get some clothes to wear.
Yeah.
So we didn't worry about anybody else. We had it hard. We had to grow our own vegetables, hogs and cows and milk cows and get chicken, go out to the hen house and get the chickens, get the eggs from the chickens every morning and every evening and put them in the house, and that's what we ate. We grew cabbage, and we had truck patches, which you call truck patches because you grew sweet potatoes, white potatoes, peanuts. We just had everything in it. And we called it a truck patch because we had everything in it.
Wow.
Yeah,
and then how do you think the cotton picker changed things around here?
Oh, it fixed it where we no longer had to pick cotton, and that was the greatest thing in the world, especially for black folks. I mean, that was great.
Did I forget to ask anything important about any of this?
No, I don't.
Any other stories that come to mind about life or the Mexican workers or anything?
No. I just admire them because they stayed to themselves. Yeah, and that's. I know it had to be a sad life, but they were afraid. You know, you just, if you're new in a place, you just don't associate with everybody because, you know, everybody's not nice. So. And I think they knew that.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Oh, okay.
So let me just make sure.